tonight. Night one of WrestleMania 38 is in the books. Surprises galore, expected surprises, and stunners for everyone. Plus, on the busiest wrestling weekend in the world, history is made as Ring of Honor returns and a tag team dream match for the ages takes place. Does The Undertaker have a future as a motivational speaker? Triple H surfaces at NXT's Stand and Deliver. And you know we're talking all about Cody Rhodes back in WWE for the championship or more. Plus, the return of an SNME original, the one and only Jason Agnew, joins us tonight on Sunday night's main event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey, I'm Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. And while the Canadian Pale Ales may have been on ice at your place, the Steve Weisers were flying as Stone Cold Steve Austin made a return in a match on night one of WrestleMania. One of the founders of All Elite Wrestling has returned to WWE to a hero's welcome. What's next for Cody Rhodes after a stellar return against Seth Rollins? Night one of WrestleMania saw many competitors battered and bruised, as we'll get injury updates on the likes of Rick Boogs and others. Dave Meltzer is standing by with everything he knew about Cody's return, plus the founder of Sunday night's main event, the one and only Jason Agnew, talks about all this and more. But first, it's this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
The Undertaker left fans salivating for more as he did a 45-minute TED Talk-style speech as he was inducted into WWE's Hall of Fame along with Warrior Award winner Shad Gaspard, Queen Charmel, Vader, and the Steiner Brothers. It seemed like a final chapter to the character of The Undertaker for Mark Calloway, but Taker did say, never say never, when it came to donning the long coat and hat one more time. Reports are coming in that Rick Boogs did in fact suffer a real quadricep injury when it came to his match with Shinsuke Nakamura against the Usos. Boogs went down about halfway through the match, was rolled out of the ring, and eventually carried out by officials. No news yet on what the future is for the most jacked Freddie Mercury lookalike in history. Immediately after winning their Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships, FTR are headed back to AEW to defend those titles as well as the AAA Tag Championships against the Young Bucks on this week's Dynamite. AEW wasting no time getting these teams back together. The question is, will this be a one-off or is this going to lead into a program where eventually the AEW Tag Team Championships also come into play? We're going to talk to Dave Meltzer more about that coming up in just a few minutes. For those of you that are fans of such things, the official numbers are in for WrestleMania Night 1 ticket distribution. Now, this doesn't reflect ticket sales per se, but the Twitter account belonging to WrestleTix has announced that the actual number of tickets distributed were 65,719. That is about 12,000 shy of the announced attendance number of 77,899. So I don't know if that includes building workers, concession workers, janitors, ticket takers, ushers, parking attendants, but somehow that was the official announced number for night one of WrestleMania 38. And this is kind of interesting, not directly WrestleMania related, but Blumhouse and WWE have announced that they have hired writers for the United States of America versus Vince McMahon. This is going to be a dramatic series that's going to be set to run on streaming services and is going to focus mostly on Vince McMahon's time in the 90s, especially during the steroid trial, his investigation, and all the other events that went around that. All right, that is your very brief five count today because we have a lot to talk about just coming out of night one from WrestleMania. And a reminder, if you're listening to this on the night of WrestleMania's second evening, you can join us tonight after the show, streaming live. It's an SNME radio after party, free for all. But if you are a Patreon, you can be a part of the broadcast as well. That'll be happening immediately as WrestleMania goes off the air. But coming up next, we chat with Dave Meltzer and the one and only Jason Agnew is back on Sunday night's main event. Burn it!
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It's the day after day one as we go into night two of WrestleMania 38. And of course, the big story coming from last night's show there is the official return, finally, of Cody Rhodes. Dave, you weren't surprised at that point, were you?
Oh, God, no.
I knew it.
I mean, like, look, I mean, as soon as Shane McMahon was fired, I was pretty much told that this was the match. As soon as he made the statement and AEW made the statement that he was leaving, what was he going to do? It was to go to WWE. If not, he'd have stayed in AEW. I mean, so that was just common sense. I know people wanted to think it was a work, and they were like, as soon as the ROH deal went through, it's like, it's a work and they're going to do this and this. And it's like, no, it's not a work. Yes. Was there snags? Yes, there were snags. It wasn't all smooth sailing as far as everything goes, but it was smooth enough to where, like, the last couple of weeks. I mean, it was weird because Cody, of course, was denying this to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he, and as a wrestler, being the mystery guy, would do. Being that I know that, you know, every time I would mention it to you or whatever, that it's like, you know, Bill, you know, he's saying it's not true, but it's true, you know?
Yeah.
And then we knew that. So, I mean, that was funny because, like, the last couple of days, I kind of said that on another show and people were going, oh, he's having cold feet. And it's like, no, he's not. He's the guy. You know, I had to say that because it's like, he's not confirming it, but we wink, wink, he's not confirming it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you have to do when you're a wrestler in that situation, because the whole idea is that, you know, you want to do a surprise, and they didn't want anyone to know. It's not like they leaked this out. They didn't want anyone to know, but stuff like this is pretty hard to keep under wraps. And even yesterday they did hide him from everyone. You know, he wasn't like backstage with everybody. You know, he was hidden and then he came out, but, you know, and the talent was never told, but I mean, Seth knew all along. You know, yeah. And all the talent knew all along, really. So, I mean, they knew from, you know, the day that statement was made, or maybe even the day before. I think it was actually the day before the statement was made. Talent in WWE buzzing around the dressing room is Cody's coming.
So Cody Rhodes in WWE now, this poses so many scenarios, so many questions. They did release an interview with Variety that Variety obviously kept embargoed under agreement to have the interview.
Right, right. They did several days. He did several days ago. Yeah.
In that interview, Cody says that his main goal is to do the one thing that Dusty never did, and that's to be WWE world champion.
Well, but that's another thing that you would say. You know, you know, I mean, a wrestler is going to say, and I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I'm sure he would love to be WWE champion. But I mean, as far as going there, you know, was he promised the WWE title? I mean, he was. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he's been promised to get him there.
He got his intro. He got his logo. He got three T-shirts already with Pharaoh on one of them. You know, he's got everything, his brand. And like he said in that interview as well, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Yeah. Which they could have done a Goldberg to him. They could have changed the music. They could have changed everything else. But no, that was for all intents and purposes, Cody Rhodes, American Nightmare persona, yeah. You know, expected. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that was the right thing to do because the big thing is like, they needed or wanted badly to steal a top guy. Steal's not, you know, a bad word. His contract was over and everything like mm-hmm. that. But to get a top guy like Bryan Danielson in the other direction, get him to come over because it looked like everybody was only going in one direction. And they had to present him in a way. And you and I talked about this. It was very important for whether it's MJF or whoever we're talking about in 3-4 years. To go in here and for Cody to do very, very well, for him to go, oh my God, look at, I'm sure MJF looked at that and was like, oh. You know what I mean? It's like, that's me in 2 years, you know, except they're all going to be booing me. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's my big entrance. And whether it will be or not, and depending on who bids what and where the landscape of wrestling is at that time, who knows? But the point is, if they had done a whole bunch of stuff and changed him and he ends up in the mid card doing nothing, guys like that or whoever, they would be, Cody could have been a big star there and they ruined him. So why would we want to go? So it was very important for WWE to make him look good. Of course, it's day one. You know what I mean? If he gets the title, you know, he should. You know, I mean, for a lot of reasons. You know,
yeah. So this is what I want to talk to you about, because now when Ronda Rousey came back at the Rumble, I was pretty excited because she came out and was treated like a megastar. With no disrespect to Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair as performers, as wrestlers, they were the flat match of last night. I think that's easy.
That's what I would say.
You know, and I hate to say that because they're both so good, but it's true.
But it would have been a lot worse if they went on last.
And you called it after the Rumble, saying, you know, let's see how long this lasts. And sure enough, we have the Raw after Mania coming up. We'll have the SmackDown after Mania. But then 2-3 weeks from now, is this a time where WWE spends reintroducing Cody Rhodes as a talent on the WWE roster? Or is this something where you can bring him in like Ric Flair, like they did, where you barely had to reintroduce Ric Flair at all back in the 90s, because he was Ric freaking Flair. So is there anybody? Well,
he's not Ric Flair.
No. But
in the 90s, he's not that, because it's still a newer organization and less years, you know, on top coming in. As far as he needs to do the interviews he was doing in AEW, and the audience will react the way they will. And we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the AEW audience liked to boo him. Not everyone, but I mean, there was enough that you would hear it at every show.
Yeah.
And that was a tough one. I really believe that played more of a part in all of this than anyone will say. And they'll never say it, in the sense that he wanted to be the John Cena, the community outreach guy and everything like that. You know, he was one of the founders of the group in a lot of ways. And I think that it was just one of those things where, you know, and he was doing those babyface promos. And the people, he couldn't get past the fact that there were going to be people booing him. And there was nothing that anyone could do to change that. It just had become one of those things. With Cena, it's a different thing, because Cena was the top guy. And also Cena drew so well and sold so much merchandise that it really didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Cody, it was one of those things, because he was not the top guy. He was a top guy, but he was not in the biggest feuds. And then he's out there with Dan Lambert, who was a total heel, and still getting booed. And it was just a weird thing that happened.
And that was a weird program altogether, though, because Dan was talking about way too inside-y stuff, even for the most inside of wrestling fan. Like, it was just, to me, I don't know, it took away from that whole thing. And like you're saying, it set up.
But it wasn't just, it wasn't just him. I mean, against Malakai Black, against Andrade, you know, no matter who he was against, and it would have been no matter what heel he was against, that wasn't going to change. I mean, the whole weird thing, you know, from the Anthony Ogogo feud, where people got mad at him for not losing, not realizing Anthony Ogogo is going in for eye surgery a couple of days later, and there was no other option but to do that. I don't know what the reality show, you know, I know a lot of people probably saw him on the reality show, and, you know, there was a theory that a lot of people had that between that and Go Big Show, that people thought he's going Hollywood, and that's why the people were booing him. But they were just booing him because, you know, there's probably a lot of different reasons, but they were. And, you know, even when he went in there and they did the angle where like his own people slapped him in the face and go, you've gone Hollywood, and he had to start and be humble and everything. So they had their ideas of how to to take that away, and it never went away.
To that point, I think that even when he cut that big final promo in AEW, I think he did have that kind of Cena booing reaction where the fans were enjoying it. It's the it thing to do because
it was the thing to do. That's what happened.
But, and so he did mention in the Variety interview, and this is the last thing I wanted to get your thoughts on, because I know you talked to Cody. I know you know all parties involved here. And I'm not asking you to spill the beans because their business is their business. But the one thing that Cody did mention in the Variety interview is that there was something personal that they couldn't overcome.
Yes. I know a lot of people very close to the situation and talked to them, you know, or was in contact with them extensively when it all went down. And the thing is, and this is when I talk about the different people in AEW, right? Mm-hmm. And every one of them had a different theory and a different story. It wasn't like everyone was like, okay, this is what happened and this is why. I mean, literally everyone's story or theory, because nobody knew the story.
Right.
As far as I know, you know, except for Cody Brandy and Tony, and maybe, you know, there's maybe one or two other people in the office, but they made an agreement when this thing fell apart that we will not talk about whatever this is. And, you know, for whatever reason, and I mean, Cody pretty much told me that it's just like, we've got an agreement. And at times, based on a lot of stuff that got out in different places about like fights with the Young Bucks or blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, he wanted to go and say like, this isn't true, except he had promised that he's not going to say anything. And Tony had promised he's not going to say anything. And Tony really, you know, he talked a little bit about certain aspects of negotiations, but no, never a reason. So like, yes, I'm very sure that what he said, that there was one thing that was tough. And I don't know what that is. I presume it will come out because things like this always do come out.
Well, but if the only two people that really know aren't talking, it's always probably going to just stay as theory, right? So,
well, in 5 years, they're going to do reminiscent and someone's possibly going to say something, or it's going to slip, or someone's going to tell someone who's going to tell someone, you know what I mean? I presume it will come out. You know, I have no idea when though. Yeah.
Ring of Honor hosting a phenomenal card. First of all, I didn't realize Gresham was as I don't want to say small, but he's a shorter guy. He's a shorter guy. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize that until I saw him stand next to the rest of his faction. But
Yeah. He's like, I don't know, 5'10". I mean, five two, five three.
Yeah.
I mean, but, he's very, very short. But
great. I mean, that's not a slight on him at all. It's just.
No. And it just huge shoulders. You know what I mean? This little power lifter looking guy. You know what I mean? I've met him, you know, and he's this short powerhouse looking guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, he had a great night. But of course, the big match coming out of everything was finally FTR taking on the Briscoes, FTR winning the tag team championships. They're now lined up to defend their titles against the Young Bucks, who then presumably the winner of that match will face Jurassic Express, and there will be some sort of triple crown tag team champion.
I don't know that they're going to do that. As far as Jurassic Express and as far as unifying the three belts or having they may. I haven't heard that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would actually make sense to build that for a pay-per-view match.
I don't know why you don't at this point. Yeah, because that's money on the table if you're not getting those three teams together.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that they can do. I mean, like they the tag team division that they have access to right now is pretty freaking strong. But Wednesday's AAA and Ring of Honor tag team titles at stake. And I don't know what's going to happen because I know that. I mean, it's a funny story, but from the AAA side, but that doesn't necessarily mean. And they told me, it's like, look, it's Tony's decision as far as the belts. Eventually, they're going to get their belts back. I don't know who and when, but for right now, like as far as Young Bucks or FTR as champions, that's Tony's call.
The Hall of Fame. Did you watch?
I only saw clips because there's just so much going on. Yeah,
it was. I watched.
I heard it was great.
Do I want to start with Undertaker? Or do I want to start with Scott Steiner here? Where would you like to go?
Tell me about Scott Steiner.
Okay. So if you only watched clips, you missed the best part of Scott Steiner's presentation. And the funny thing is that, you know, Bron Breakker comes out and says, oh, I'm worried about giving Uncle Scott a live mic. And and sure enough, Scott comes out and plays that up a little bit. Didn't say anything bad. Didn't say anything wrong. You know, did a little Where's My Freaks At and all that thing. And then for the reminiscing part of their speech, Scott goes into this story and he talks about how he was on the road with Macho Man. And I think this was during the WWF run, he said. They were on the road with Macho and they passed by a field full of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And Macho apparently pulls the vehicle over, or one of the Steiners, whoever was driving. And Macho says to Steiner, I bet I can get these cows to run to me faster than they will to you. And he's like, Steiner's like, okay. So Scott does everything he can to try and get these cows to come over, and nothing happens. And then Macho Man says something. And he said that these three cows just started racing towards him. The punchline of story was, you know, I can't be sure what he said. He never told me what he said, but I'm pretty sure Macho Man knew those cows. It was the most random story ever, but it was to the point where it got a huge laugh. B, it brought back the memory of Macho Man and the legend of these impossibly weird things he would do. And coming from Scott Steiner, it made a ton of sense. Do you know of any ranch hand history of one Macho Man, Randy Savage?
I don't know that aspect of Randy Savage. No.
Okay. That was the whole Scott Steiner part. Undertaker, as you saw, basically turned his acceptance speech into a bit of a TED talk. It was a very motivational speech sort of thing. He even had the little hands-free microphone going on. You know, is there a plan to bring Undertaker out as more of a public speaker? You know, we move away from be a star and we move into, you know, TED talks with, you know, dead talks or whatever you want to call them.
Cause maybe, I don't know. You know, they're, you know, he's under contract for forever. And they might as well do whatever they can with that character. You know, I really don't believe he'll ever wrestle again, but like he said, you never say never. And there's always, you know, I think he's happy he went out with the Styles match, but you know, a lot of people are very happy with the match they went out on. You know, even Austin was at one point. And you know, you never say never in wrestling. So, and he said that he used that line, like someday someone's gonna come up to him with like $5 million for a match, and she's like, this is just too much to turn down.
Yeah,
you know. So we'll see what happens.
You can launch another line of beer with that. That's that's pretty amazing. But as far as Undertaker goes, that's again up in the air. I honestly, when I saw the trapdoor that Cody eventually used, I thought, oh geez, is this what never say never meant? And you know, but we had a great time. Of course, we're just talking about night one of WrestleMania. Night two is tonight on the WWE Network. Of course, there's still lots of other wrestling to talk about as well. But unfortunately, we got to get on with the show here. So, Dave, next week, we'll follow up more on the Austin match. We'll follow up on everything that comes out of tonight, of course. And, of course, there's so much more. Injuries galore. The Rick Boogs thing looked horrifying.
Yeah.
Bianca getting a heel to the face looked brutal. And we'll talk about all that shaking down next week as well. But, of course, I know you'll keep us up to date on everything coming out of WrestleMania at WrestlingObserver.com. So thank you as always. And happy rest of your Mania weekend, sir.
Okay, you too. Thanks very much.
That is Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Of course, WrestleMania Night 2 is underway, and we are getting ready for it here with the return of the man, one of the pillars of Sunday night's main event, the one and only Jason Agnew is back right here on Sunday night's main event.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
Who's it gonna be?
Wrestling has more.
Sunday night's main event continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. This is not my show. I came into this show. I've been listening to the show as a fan for years, and one of the people I listen to, ladies and gentlemen, is back, an original host. I don't know what to call you, sir, but you are definitely worthy of the WrestleMania weekend edition of SNME Radio. The one, the only, Jason Agnew is here.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. I still stick around in the background. You know, yeah. I'll go with founder, but this is your show. You are wrong, sir. This is your show now. You are the man driving this thing, and you've been doing one heck of a job since taking over from me at the beginning of the year. I've just had a whole bunch of other things going on, as our patrons know from listening in with the midweek markout every week. But hey, it's WrestleMania weekend. I have been watching. I'm still following along, and I thought, all right, let's jump in here and do a little chat about the granddaddy of them all? The stupendous granddaddy of them all?
No, it's the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. And don't you dare missay it. Because if
Don't you dare missay it. I love that.
There's your new tag. And it's funny, I wanted to show you this. I don't know if you got to watch the after party last night or not that we did for night one, but this is my Lavransky quality notes here.
Oh boy!
Based on I'm holding up several sheets of handwritten loose leaf here because it was I've never done that before in my life. I've never taken meticulous notes on any show, let alone the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. So
yeah, that's really the difference, Mike, as far as the way that I'm engaged in things this year is I did watch last night and I did watch the Hall of Fame and a bit of SmackDown the night before, but I don't have to sit there and take notes. And, you know, no offense to you who does have to do that. That is how I stayed very much lean forward, engaged in all the shows. And it was actually kind of nice this year to sit back and watch it more so as a fan than as a reporter and maybe also fall asleep partway through the Charlotte and Ronda match last night.
Oh my
completely
gosh.
Conked out and put me to sleep. I slept through the Austin stuff last night.
What?
I have since watched it. I had to get up early this morning and I didn't have to withhold the amount of Great Lakes beers that I had while enjoying WrestleMania. So maybe I was a little bit dozy, but I did since wake up this morning and I have seen it all and I did see the Austin stuff and what a nostalgia ride that was.
So we talked about this first before we get to the Austin thing. What was your moment of the night for night one of WrestleMania?
You know, it had to be the Cody debut, even though we all knew it was coming. It was still really well done. Actually, I can tell you exactly what it was. It was the fact that Cody had his AEW music and his character went untouched between what it was from AEW to what it is, at least in the first incarnation in WWE. I think that without that music, yes, he would have got the big pop and we would have seen him. But the fact that nothing has been taken away from that character very much surprises me and makes me happy, actually. And hopefully that is the MO of Vince McMahon and what is happening now with Cody in AEW. Listen, in WWE, that is. I'm not saying he's going to have creative control, but the fact that the character remained untouched does give me that little glimmer of hope.
It was actually something that Dave Meltzer and I just talked about, how this was the first real shot back at AEW, who has been seen as the promised land, as this bastion of hope. And again, I'm the guy that likes liking things. I'm never going to bash either side here. But there is this wave of belief that AEW is this freedom portal for wrestlers who may be frustrated. And then there was another interesting thing that was trending last night. I don't know if you saw this, but as Kevin Owens was going into his match against Steve Austin at WrestleMania in the main event spot of night one, how back in October, everybody thought that Kevin Owens should become Kevin Steen again and jump right back into AEW or jump right to AEW when his contract was coming up. And everybody couldn't believe that he just stuck around in WWE to be, quote, a mid-card guy. I think the WWE is finally mounting a bit of a defense when it comes to their perception in the wrestling world, in the internet wrestling fan community, in the hardcore fan community. Agree or disagree?
Excuse me. I would say I wouldn't fully agree. I don't think that we're totally proven on that yet. We're seeing where it goes. However, I wanted to talk to you about the re-signing of Kevin Owens, because you're absolutely right. A lot of people were disappointed. A lot of people thought that he was going to make the jump and could have very well gotten lost in the shuffle of everyone else making that jump over. But don't you think, Mike, that in October, this was brought up to Kevin Owens and they said to him, listen, if you stick around, you and Austin at WrestleMania may not have known what it was going to be yet, but this is going to be your direction for WrestleMania. I'm thinking that was one of the main reasons that he did stick around. He just lived out his childhood dream last night, and we all got to watch it, and it was really cool to see. I am confused, though. I will say, as great of a nostalgia ride that was last night, I'm very confused as to why this was not full-on promoted as a no-holds-barred match, so that Owens versus Austin was main eventing night one of WrestleMania. Why?
So Dave and I are going to shake this down more next week. My belief going into this is that honestly, they probably didn't decide until a couple days before. I think that's why. I think the whole KO show thing was the perfect way to do it, because what they did was they underpromoted and over-delivered.
They did.
And that's something very rare that WWE does, because usually it's the other way around. But I think they've finally gotten wind. And I think this might be a Nick Khan thing, because this has never been a Vince McMahon thing. This has never been a WWE thing. But I think that with little things like seeing a tag team sponsored going to the ring last night, seeing the production staying the same for Cody, this is stuff that Vince McMahon would have never allowed back in the day. I think that there are outside voices now that are having influence, and one of them has to be Nick Khan, because this is something where having Owens open to this opportunity, and like you said, in October, offering it to him, saying, look, we're going to do something with you. You're already doing the stunner. Austin loves you. We all know this from when they've talked before. And Steve Austin said numerous times how much he loved Owens doing the stunner and doing it right, holding it nice and snug, all these other things. So there's been communication. But the real question is just that. When did it come up as a match? I think, honestly, it was probably like day of, if not just a couple days before. Because
I don't know about day of, but I think that what we were seeing there is, if your theory is right, if they weren't sure until beyond when the program was put in place, ultimately it was just Austin's decision, and seeing how Austin's body was going to take to the training and take to the working out, what type of shape he could get him stuff in. I'm curious, though, how, you know, we talked about October, like, was it before this, and was it like when the stunner was taken on as the finishing move by Kevin Owens, in the back of his head, was it, you know, if I start using this down the line, ultimately it has to culminate with some sort of confrontation with Austin and I? I'm curious how the stunner made it to Owens, and if this was always in the back of his head.
I think KO had to have asked. I think KO is old school enough where he would have asked for permission.
Yeah.
I think there was a conversation between him and Steve, and this is all just hypothesis like that. I have no idea. We weren't there, but I think that Kevin Owens is old school enough and respectful enough that he would have gone that way. Now, as for the match itself, this is where I still stand by the, it was very close to, if not the day of, when Austin first started getting physical, right? Calls for the ref, everything gets going. I'm pretty sure that they had decided probably that week that it was going to be a match. With the way the hype videos were going, it was definitely leading to more than just a sit-down talk. But
yes,
did you not see Stone Cold Steve Austin wake up and shed years off of his absence as that match went on? Because when he first got thrown into the barricade, I said last night on our after party, Steve Austin gingerly sauntered into the barricade the first time, to be honest with you. And then by the end of it, we're taking suplexes on the floor. We're suplexing on the stage. We're doing not one, not two, but three stunners when you count Byron Saxton. It was Steve Austin literally knocking off the years of absence as he went on.
Yeah, I guess it just takes it. It's like a lawnmower, basically. Steve Austin is a lawnmower, and it took a few pulls before it really kicked into gear. That's it. It just took a few pulls to get into gear, and then once it started spinning, it wasn't going to stop until that lawn was cut and the match was done.
Love that. Lawnmower 316 says, "I just mowed your Anyway, this is why we miss you, Jason, but. It's great talking about this. Now, as for night two, this is obviously airing in some markets as night two is going on. Or if you're listening on snmeradio.com or through our Patreon, you're hearing extra conversation as well. Do you think that some of the onus is on fans going into watching WrestleMania and setting our own expectations too high? Or when you're being sold something as being the most stupendous, do we have every right to be very picky and critical up to the minute something happens?
Well, I mean, we do have the right, and we fully take upon those rights with being critical of the product. That's kind of what we're here for. Mm-hmm. There's two types of wrestling fans. I mean, there's ones like, me and you, me who will sit there and be hypercritical about everything, and you who does try to sit back and enjoy more things than I do and looks at the brighter side of things.
Coming from the guy that has the direct chain to the Great Lakes Brewery supply, by the way, but
I know, still, even with that, sometimes things still get me down. As far as night two goes, it's going to be what they're not going to have on night two is the nostalgia play. You know, we saw the big Mania moments. We saw the big return last night, and we saw two big returns. So the big return I was referring to is Cody. We saw that return, the political move right there. And then we also saw the big nostalgia turn. They are putting a huge emphasis on Lesnar and Reigns and the meaning behind the unification of this title. And honestly, I don't know if that can live up to the expectations that they have pushed out. You talked about underhype, overdeliver. That was the story of night one. Yeah. I would not be surprised tonight, Mike, if night two is overhype, underdeliver, because I don't know what they can do with Lesnar and Reigns, something that we've seen over and over again that will satisfy the fans. Whether it's the title being united on Reigns or on Lesnar, either one, my question isn't who it's going to be on. It's, and I don't mean to paraphrase Goldberg here, but it is who's next. What happens with either one of these guys beyond this match? I don't have that answer. Is it Cody right away? And think about that in the ring, too. Think about the size difference with either one of these guys in the ring. Automatically, there are questions if Cody is thrown into the mix with Lesnar or Reigns. And Vince is going to stare at him and stare at the other guy and go, mm-mm. And it could lead to his downfall if he's put in that program right away.
It's interesting to note that Cody, in the Variety interview that was embargoed until he made his debut with WWE, that he did mention that he did have eyes on the WWE championship, the one championship that his dad never held. One thing I want to talk to you about before we go, and we're going to do this in our final segment. Yes, you're not hearing things. That is Jason Agnew on SNME Radio. But we're going to talk about what is next for Cody Rhodes and what the future could be, including the new heir apparent. What do you think? All that and more coming up next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Follow Sunday Night's Main Event on Twitter at SNME Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network, TSN Radio across Canada, affiliates everywhere, and snmeradio.com. By the way, if you want more content, patreon.com/snmeradio. And you definitely want more content because that includes the man coming back to town. No, not Becky Lynch. But Jason Agnew is here. Jason, welcome back again. It's great to be talking to you in this capacity and not just complaining about life like we normally do behind the scenes. But we are talking all about WrestleMania. And last night, the biggest story, which I think is 1 and 1A, Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back, but is Cody Rhodes coming back? AEW Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, everything that he built on his own, on the road, touring the world, coming back. And Jason, you brought up a very interesting question last night, which we're going to delve more into as things unfold with guys like Dave Meltzer. And maybe someday we'll even get Cody himself on the show. Who knows? But you had an interesting thought about Cody Rhodes maybe stepping in as an heir apparent to WWE.
All right. So hear me out here. That sounds crazy to just throw it out that way. You know, the guy comes back and all of a sudden he does. Now, he does have his AEW gimmick and he's there. But often Vince McMahon is the type of person who you got to go somewhere else in order to prove yourself. And then when you come back, he will get behind because he believes in you. It's like Cody stood up to Vince. And I think that to a degree, Vince likes it when people stand up to him. They go away, they come back. Vince gets the satisfaction of bringing people back. We've seen this over and over again. I mean, look at Bret Hart for an example. But Cody comes back, and there's a huge question now about who is the heir apparent? Who takes this company when Vince has a medical issue? Or just in general, like, he's not going to be around forever. I mean, he probably thinks he is, but he isn't. So with that in mind, Triple H has had terrible medical issues this year. And along with that, Triple H, who is seen as the heir apparent, is still unable to live down the fact he did not win the war of NXT versus AEW. And he is not looked upon favorably because of that. You know who did win that war, though? Mm-hmm. Or who was a great part of that?
Absolutely.
Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes also comes from a family that wrestling runs through the bloodlines. So is there any possibility that Cody is now being brought back to WWE, stolen away from AEW, and not only does he get to be an on-camera performer, but gets to have more of a say with what goes on behind the scenes and builds his way back into the foundation of WWE and is looked upon as someone that could have a greater role behind the scenes now and in the future in WWE?
You could say then, now, and forever.
You could. I was trying to work on that. It couldn't work it in.
I like that thought. I also like the fact that Cody has all these relationships with the biggest companies out there outside of WWE. AEW aside, he's got New Japan. He's got all this experience he got on the indies. And again, going back to the Variety interview that was released when Cody basically started heading to the ring, he talked about going out as a WWE trained product and then getting his indie experience, then getting his life on the road as far as fighting for himself. And he worked his tail off to make it happen. So this is now a guy that can relate to the experience that Triple H had. He now lives that life. He's been on the other side of the companies. He's been sweating and grinding. And Triple H did make a brief appearance at NXT Stand and Deliver, sending off Tommaso Ciampa apparently to the main roster, but maybe that's going to be as far as Triple H goes, and maybe he'll just be there. You do need a wrestling mind like that, and you need a wrestling mind that is connected to the present day product. And I don't think anybody is more connected than Cody Rhodes right now, at least nobody that's under the WWE roster.
Yeah, because the other guys that are backstage are guys like, you know, Bruce Pritchard, who's been around forever and does not have the modern mindset. The ability to gain back the fans that have been disgruntled and left, I mean, I find WWE incredibly frustrating to watch. And to gain back fans like me and many listeners of this show, Cody Rhodes is the one. It was a huge part of reigniting that excitement in the world of pro wrestling to the fans that had given up on WWE. Will he be allowed to do that here? I think that's the bigger question right now.
I think that's also the only thing they will allow Cody to reignite or ignite in any form whatsoever in WWE. But that's a Flaming Tables reference more than anything else. But anyway, it's very, very interesting. It's interesting to see what's going to happen out of night two of WrestleMania. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with AEW this week as they have their own business going on with Ring of Honor. We talked about the tag team championship situation with Dave Meltzer as well. Jason, we know that you watch Raw and review it on the SNME Radio Patreon, but I have to ask you, what are you most looking forward to coming out of this WrestleMania weekend?
I'm most looking forward to Monday night and what Cody Rhodes says. Or what Cody? What happens with Cody Rhodes on Monday? Does he cut the promo going back at the other guys? Does he just come out and wrestle? Like, what happens on Monday night? How do you make this work? Because there is going to be the expectation that he is given the mic, and what does he say? All I know is that as long as Brandy is not by his side, I'm on board.
And for those that don't know the slogan,
Brandy ruins everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have not been hearing things. That is the one and only Jason Agnew joining us for the post-WrestleMania Night 1 edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. Mr. Agnew, I'll say it publicly here, as I've said privately many times, thank you for the opportunity to continue on the legacy of this show, and I'm going to keep doing my best to do you proud. Thank you for listening and letting me do what I do. We will be back right here for you next week on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Don't you dare miss it.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event. To get the complete show as well as bonus weekly podcasts, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio. This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.